as we're finding our places. I hope everybody had a very awesome Thanksgiving.
Amen.
And I know some went different places and some had families and all kind of stuff like that. So I pray that everybody's heart was content with wherever we were at. I do want to say this, though. Because of Thanksgiving and all of that, just to be reminded, you know, I was hearing a few people on the radio this week on talk radio. They were talking about, and I don't know, I may read one from George Washington on Shabbat, but you know how many times people talk about our founding fathers, how they were atheists and they really didn't believe in God and all of that, and you know, on and on. But after this guy read the letter that George Washington had read during the Thanksgiving season, because he was the one that, according to him, he was the one that started this, you would have thought George Washington was a preacher. You know what I mean? So it was really amazing. And the whole thing was really about this nation, and it was about giving thanks to the Heavenly Father for allowing this nation to be set up the way it was set up. And even during that time, and I really didn't know this as much because I've been out of history in a long time, but, you know, really and truly, they were saying that they really wanted to make George Washington the king. They really wanted to set him up as the leader. But he had enough forethought in there to know what happens when I die. You know, so he didn't take it. He said, we fought for this. We fought for freedom. This is the way we're going to do it. The Constitution is written. This is the way it should be. And so I guess really going back to when we kept talking about freedom at Sukkot, and we always said that freedom is not free. We went through Memorial Day. We've gone through Veterans Day, where there's a lot of men and women in service who give their lives or give part of their lives and part of their limbs or whatever for our freedom, for us to be able to be here even on tonight, even though it's Thanksgiving Day, but to us it's Rosh Kodesh now starting the new month. Just how thankful I am to our Heavenly Father for allowing us to be able to be where we're at. And I know He's doing mighty things. And I know that, you know, Tammy and myself have talked about this. And, you know, a lot of times, because she was reading, we were reading something in Job this morning. But, you know, sometimes we can go through the Job situation and we got well-meaning people telling us how we're in sin or how we're got issues. When really we're like, man, I thought life was good. How all this stuff falling on me? And so my thing is sometimes in life, we get blindsided, and sometimes we're doing the right thing and we get blindsided. Amen. And that's really when it can be frustrating. But then I think about today when we was with family and we had family running everywhere, you know, and it was really just awesome to see everybody. And part of this message today from the scripture is about the next generation. It's about our children, and it's even according to this word, it's about our children who's not even born yet. And that's how important this is. I don't know how long, with the craziness that's going on in this world, I don't know how long this will last, but I just know that we're in a dogfight politically, but you know what? We're in a dogfight spiritually. And so we have to, you know, we have a torch, and we need to keep carrying that torch. And so my challenge today is, and I've got something written down here for the young people. It's not just what you hear while you're here, it's what you're going to do with it whenever you get to that time where you're starting your own families, where you're starting to read and understand, because you're going to have to, look, I know I was young, and I loved to be with all the young people, and it was good to be there, and it was good to be at church, and it was good to go through all it, but what was I there for? The fellowship. I wasn't really there for the preacher and his word. I was there hanging out with my peeps. But there's going to come a day when it's going to be probably a male and a female peep get married. And then when you have children, it's just totally, your life changes like that. And now all of a sudden you have the responsibility of raising your children, that next generation. So today I've just been really, really thankful for family. You know, my brother, he was able to come down. That was good to see him. And my sister came over, went to the graveside, put some fresh flowers on Mom and Dad's grave. So it was good to see family like that too. Amen. And I know your families, and some of your families are way off and they're not able to be here. I understand that too, and that's a sad time. But still, we have them. Amen. And I just want to say something for our treasure chest. We have some families in there that we're not going to let go of either. Amen. And so that's what we're in this fight for. I almost started to teach it before we didn't open it. So, Tammy, if you would go ahead, and then we'll just continue on with this.
Read a pattern out of 1 Chronicles 23, 30, and 31. They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise Yahweh, and likewise at evening, and to offer all burnt offerings to Yahweh on the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the fixed festivals, and the number set by the ordinance concerning them continually before Yahweh. Then Ezekiel 46, 1 through 3 says, thus says Yahweh Elohim, the gate of the inner court facing east shall be shut the 6 working days, but it shall be opened on the Sabbath and opened on the day of the new moon. The prince shall enter by way of the porch of the gate from outside and stand by the post of the gate. Then the priest shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate and then go out. But the gate shall not be shut until the evening. The people of the land shall also worship at the doorway of the gate before Yahweh on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Psalm 78. Y'all can park there just a minute. We're going to start in verse 1 in just a moment. But we are in the ninth month, and we also, this is really a month of dedication. Kislev is what they named it, and Kislev means hope and truth, or trust, hope and trust. So as I was studying and reading, and there's a couple of things that I really felt like with all of us, with a lot of the, just thinking about our families here, trust and hope, and then rededicating or dedicating, especially because we have Hanukkah that's going to be at the end of this month as it goes into the next month. So really, every year, I know dedication comes up, and I know Tammy was telling me, you know, it seems like hope and trust has been coming up a lot too. But it's not only just this trust, but it's this trust. And this is the thing that really I think the Father, because I just want you to think about this. When the Maccabeans, the Hasmoneans, whenever they had this army come against them, and they had this army come against them, this was not some small little force. This was a formidable force that came against a bunch of farmers with rakes and plow handles and everything else. But they made a stand for the Torah because you had Antiochus. He turns around and he defiles the temple. And he is destroying their way of life. They've already become Hellenized with Alexander coming through there, changing their ways. I think we can see that today. If you want to look at spiritually in America, we're becoming more and more Hellenized. You know, because of all the other religions that's coming in here, people are accepting. When it says one nation under God, when that's on your money, that is not Allah. And that is not Hindu. And that is not little Buddha at the Chinese place. You know what I'm saying? That's not what that meant. Because when that was printed back then, they knew who Yahweh Elohim was. And it was unity under that. And now they've got this mixture that's coming here. So we are today, well, that's right. They're redefining it. So what am I really saying? What I'm saying is we today, we're in the same place that they were back in 164, 165 B.C. before Yeshua came. This is that time frame, and a lot of the Jewish people fell into that trap. You know what? Yeah, well, you know, we have Yahweh as our Elohim, but you know what? There's a lot of Elohims that they've introduced to us now. And I sort of like the Elohim of Camaro and the Elohim of Mustang. You know what I mean? They started introducing these other gods that brought really what? Fleshly pleasure to their lives. And so they fed off of that. What is happening to us? Whatever feel good, do it. And then you get to a place. Now, the other side, the anti-side is rising up. Not our side, the other side. Saying, well, what about me? Because I think my worship, well, there's no place here now for you. That's what this thing is happening in our society. So with that, it is a time for us to be really, really focused and learning how to trust one another. Because there again, think about this. When the chips were down and they had to make a decision, And Judah Maccabees and those rose up and they made a stand that we're going to fight. Then all of a sudden, the talking was over. Especially when one was going to go offer up swine on an altar and he killed the man. So when he killed the man, it's like, well, you can't go back now. He done it. And so we can't have a meeting. We can't have an elders meeting. And we can't have a deacons meeting. And we can't have a committee meeting. He done killed the man. And when it gets back to the king, he's going to kill every one of us. So the thing about it is you have to be able to trust and know what you're going to do today in case something happens for us tomorrow. And I think this is what the focus is do we really, I know we trust him, but do we really trust one another? That is something, I believe 100% you guys trust us as leadership. I believe, the only reason why I believe that is because you're here. Because I'm about as nutty as they come. And you have plenty of time to vacate this place, okay? But really and truly, I think you know that we love the Father and we want truth and we want to be able to lead people into truth because we want true freedom. I want us to have a successful life and I want our children and our children's children to have a successful life. And I want us, as long as it can, where we have the freedom to do it, I want us to enjoy one another. But it does pay that where we have to learn to trust one another. Sometimes maybe that's not easy when we come from different cultures or different things has happened in our life. Say somebody has fallen. You know, then do you trust them when they repent? Do you lift them up or do you point a finger? You know, the thing about it is I'm just putting my mind back here during this day. Is when everything unfolded like it did, it happened in a moment. And when it happened, it's been going on. I mean, you can read the scriptures and you can read the history of the Maccabeans. It was going on for a period of time. But when he killed the man, when he killed that priest for going to offer up, everything changed in that moment. And that's what usually happens in war. I think some of the wars with England and America, before it really, somebody fired a shot. Y'all remember that story? Who fired the shot? They still don't know who fired the shot, but somebody fired a shot. I don't know if somebody got upset, got trigger happy, or somebody fell asleep and his gun went off. I don't know. They keep saying. But when that shot fired, what happened? A war started. So I'm just saying, with us, you just never know. As we teach, we preach. I just remember her dad many, many times. He said, you know, this day's coming. And I like the days whenever we were preaching. These days are coming. Not that we're already in them. Amen. But we're in these days. We're at the very days that he talked about. We're in these days. So just being prepared, dedicated to his word, dedicated to one another, trusting one another and trusting him. Also, this time is to be a festive, a joyous, and a family-oriented time. So this month is something to where we really can enjoy one another. And we need to treat this month as a festive time. To where, because it is definitely, I like today, it is family-oriented. Thanksgiving was awesome today for us and our family. Okay, verse 1 in chapter 78 of Psalms. All right, we have, now that's an instrument. I don't know what kind it is, a maskil of aspis. The Song of Asaph. Okay. Is that what you're saying? Song. Okay. All right. It says this. It says, give ear, O my people, to my teachings. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, this is why this is important. I know that when we go through the Torah, and we go through the writings and the prophets, we usually see this a lot. And I know that you hear this all the time. Give ear to my teachings. Shema with the intent to obey. But the reason why he puts this out here so many times is why? Because you ain't doing it. You know, that's what me and Tyler was talking about. George Washington. If they wanted him to be king, Terry, but George didn't have a problem with him, who's going to be next? And if he read the scriptures, Israel had a good king. And the next one was bad. 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 And then they had a little kid, and he was good. I think George Washington probably knew enough of the scriptures to know it's okay, but I'm not going to live forever. Who's going to be next in line? And who's going to be next in line? So for the father in this song, and David in his writings, this is repeated over and over again because this is something that we as the children of Israel seem to do. It sounds good. We read it. We cheer. We wave our pom-poms. And we do all of the things. But a lot of times we don't do what it says. But he's warning us and telling us to hold to his words. And it says, "And I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old." Listen to what it says here. "Things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us." This is why it's important. This is why I said to the young people, we've been here, how long have we been here? 30-something years? 34 years. And we've grown over that length of time and come into Hebrew Roots. And we have a lot of young people that's here. That very scripture talks about how the fathers are teaching their kids. It says there's things that we've heard, there's things that we've known that our fathers have told us. In Israel, they did the same thing. They would teach their children, but they seemed to forget. They would always think, you know what, this was good teachings and we're having fun. But, you know, when you're not at war with people, life is good. But when you're in sin, that's going to run out someday. Solomon didn't have any problems, and he flipped. But because of his sin, Israel was divided into two different peoples because he didn't heed what his fathers were saying. So I'm just telling you, just because you go to a certain place that seems to be spiritual, you're not bulletproof. You have to apply what you hear. You have to apply it for yourself. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, you have to apply it for yourself. I really love these young people. These young people have had a lot of young ones accept Yeshua as their Savior. But it doesn't stop there. That's where it starts. We need to continue to work and develop these young ones, disciple these young ones in their faith. Then it says, verse 4, it says, "We will not hide them from their children, but tell of the coming generations the glorious deeds of Yahweh and his might and the wonders that he has done." This is one of the reasons in verse 4 why we do Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not a command. It's not Leviticus 23. But the reason why we do Hanukkah, and sometimes somebody will always challenge us, they've done it in the past, why are you doing some Jewish thing? Well, let me just tell you, yeah, Yeshua did it. The dedication of lights. But here's what it just said. Listen to that verse again. "We will not hide from their children, but tell them the coming generations the glorious deed that Yahweh has done in his might and the wonders that he has done." Think about this. This is what this Hanukkah story is about. This is what the story of Purim is about. It's about the wonderful, glorious things that the Father did to deliver his people. During Purim, they were going to be annihilated. And they couldn't even defend themselves. But yet you can see these stories, and the reason why we teach them, because one day you're going to have to know that somebody on your own, you're going to be tested, and you're going to have to know that, you know what? If the Father can do this for them, and I love him, he can do it for me. And this is the reason why we tell these stories over and over and over again. And I hope that we can make them new and fresh as best that we can. But we want you to know that that's what we're trying to do, is teach them of the glories that the Father has done in our lives. We are not trying to pat Judah Maccabee on the back. It ain't about Judah Maccabee. It's about Yahweh Elohim. It's about their trust in him, but it's what he did for them. He was the one that delivered Antiochus and them into their hand. He was the one that defeated that army. Remember the story when we had Jonathan and his little buddy? And he goes against, he says, "Well, you know what? We'll cry out over here." And he says, "We'll go over and say, hey, we're going to come get you." And they'll say, "Well, come on. The father's going to say, it's time for us to go." But no, you don't. You remember the story? So the deal is you got two men that goes in, and I don't know how many people that they routed and caused confusion, but it wasn't them. They went in obedience. And what happened? The Father caused confusion to come down on those armies, and they died. This is the thing that we have to trust and hope in, that He is going to protect us, and that's what the rest of this story is about. Verse 5, it says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to do what? That we would teach them to our children, and that's the important part. That's why we're here tonight, is by teaching. Now look, it's not just by our words, but it's by our actions. That's how we teach. It's not just, you know, Hebrew is action. It's not just by what I say. See, you expect me to say the right things, but you also expect me to do the right things. And doing the right things will show you, am I putting my money where my mouth is, in a sense. Because it's real important that we do and we stand and do the right things. Verse 6, that the next generation might know them and the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. So we have a mandate for us to be able to teach our children. I believe this with all my heart. Yahweh chose Abraham. And in Abraham, he was to become a great nation. And in Abraham, all the nations of the world would be blessed. But why did he choose Abraham? Because he was pretty? Was he handsome? Did he have a Mr. T starter kit with a bunch of gold chains? You know, what was he? That's right. He was obedient. But do you know what? He would teach his children. And Yahweh said, would I hide anything from Abraham? He didn't hide it with Lot. He didn't have to tell him anything. He could have went and destroyed that whole mess over there. But he said, would I withhold anything? He had a relationship. He chose Abraham because Abraham would teach his children and his children's children. And that's where Israel has failed in the most part. Is because they've taken the Torah and they wrapped it and they kept it and they've internalized it. I understand why some of them have done that, because they've been persecuted. But do you know the reason why, though? And I have to go to this point, and I may be wrong, and you can correct me if you want to. If Israel was walking in His word, and if they were walking in faith and obedience, Yahweh shielded them and protected them, and nobody could harm them. But every time when we read in Scripture where Amalek would come, or where the Moabites would come, or this one, they would start, it was always because they were sinning. And when they were sinning, he allowed this group to mess with them. They'd let all their good stuff grow up, and he'd let them go in there and take all their goods. Let them take all of their wheat. Let them take all their barley. Yahweh wouldn't shield it. And then all of a sudden, like in Judges, he would send a judge when they would cry out, oh, you know, we've done wrong, and they cry out and they repent. And then what happens? Yahweh hears them, and he sends a judge, or he sends a deliverer in there, and they do good for just a little period of time. It's like there's this big cycle. We have to break that cycle. The church world is no different. We've done the same thing.
Share something, yes, real quick. On the Abraham being selected because he would teach his children. But when you stop and think about what the scriptures actually show us, do we see where he's sitting them down and saying, this is what Yahweh wants here, there, otherwise? No, what do we see him? I want you to circumcise you and your household, all of you, and Ishmael's 13 years old. Then he sees that he does Isaac on the eighth day. He circumcises him. Then he sees that he's going to take his son up, his only son. That's because he's the only promised son that had to come through Sarah. And he's willing to sacrifice him. So how did he teach his children? How did he teach his children obedience? Through the life that he lived in obedience to Yahweh Elohim. And then even in his failures, he demonstrated to his children hospitality. When the man is healing from his circumcision, he sees these three angels coming up, these sons of Elohim, and he, hurry up, go do this, go get the fat, go get the curds, and let's feed these people. He shows hospitality. He's teaching his children. And he passed it on to Lot, because Lot also was hospitable. But that's how we teach. That's how we make disciples. It's not just in any kind of words that we speak. That's a dime a dozen. But how we live our life and how we demonstrate our life, it is more caught than taught. I love the old saying, preach to all men everywhere, when necessary, use words. We are teaching our children, whether they're spiritual, physical, our friends, we are teaching through the life that we live, through the decisions that we make. But we can, in the verses that he read, it's so perfect when you said, immediately, I didn't know you were going to go to Abraham, but that's exactly where my mind went when you said, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children. That's how we teach. It's through the life that we live, through the decisions that we make. So I would say one of the things, my takeaway from this is that in this month of dedication, trust and hope, is that we dedicate, that we will set a godly example. Even if it's just ourselves and only Elohim sees it, what decisions are we making when no one else is looking? Because that's what we'll also do in the public. Amen?
Amen.
I'm encouraged. I'm very, very encouraged by this.
Amen. You're going to get saved, girl. There you go. All right, verse 7, and then we're going to go to Proverbs 3, and we'll finish up there. Then verse 7, it says this, so that they should set their hope in Elohim. Because, see, this gives you hope when you know that the Father is working with you. And it says, they set their hope in Elohim and not forget the works of Elohim, but keep his commandments. So keeping the commandments brings forth the very works of Elohim in our lives. It brings the security and everything that we need in our lives. All right, let's go to Proverbs 3. We're going to start verse 13, and I'm going to jump to 23 and then go through 26. Because I just wanted to bring this out here. In verse 13 in Proverbs 3, it says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. You've read that many times. I've read it many times. And we've been going through the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit for this whole year. She's been writing these things, and this is why we go over it and over it and over it, because the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of understanding is just two of the seven. And they're so, so important, and I'm going to show you why as we go down now to verse 23. In verse 23, it says, then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Now, I wrote down here, if we allow human wisdom and we lean to our own understanding, your walk will be stumbling. You will stagger and your walk will stumble. And this is what happens to us most of the time. We don't take the time to get in His Word, get Ramas or whatever we need to do to find out what is the Father, what thus saith the Father in these situations. And then what we do is we lean to our own wisdom and our own understanding, and the next thing you know, we make a mess. And then when we make a mess, then we shoot up a flare prayer because I need help to try to fix the problems that we're in rather than getting counsel, because that's one of the spirits. And so there's some things that you'll know that you'll come up in your life as you go through life over and you've done this over and over. You know what the Word says. You apply the Word. That's why He talks about keeping His commandments. You apply the Word to the situation, it works. But if you're not sure what the Word says, you need to find out what thus saith Yahweh about this situation before you act on it. Because we're talking about being secure. And I believe that when the Maccabeans, whenever Judah Maccabee, when he made his stand, he knew that when that priest was going to offer up that swine on that altar, he knew that broke commandment. And if he was going to say, if I'm going to die for a commandment, I'm going to die for a commandment. But he ain't defiling that altar. Not on my watch, he's not. And so he didn't have to go and just pray, well, because Antiochus is in charge, can I eat pig? No, he knew what the Torah said. It's not going to change no matter who's in charge. And this is the reason why I say that. Because did they not have Daniel? You don't think these people knew about Daniel? What about Joseph? What about all of these men who were put under these other pharaohs and kings and all of that? And they found what? Favor in the eyes of these kings. Yahweh placed them in a way to where they had to show their faith. It wasn't easy because he told Daniel. He told them all, you don't interpret the dream, I'm killing all of you. Off with your heads. Everybody, every magic carpet rider and everybody. He's just going to get rid of all of you. Daniel said, hold on just a minute. Let me go and pray. And the Father gave him. But the Father did that so that he would show himself mighty to the king to say, you know what, king? He's in charge. And the king realized that he was in charge. And he says, who is wiser? The Father does these things to set us up. To set us up for success. Not that because we're in captivity, oh well, it's not our fault. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that here, that's what it means. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Because then it says this in verse 23. Then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. Daniel didn't stumble. Joseph didn't stumble. These other men before us didn't stumble. And the word tells us about that. And you know what? Judah Maccabee didn't stumble. He went out there and the Father rescued them in that situation. Joshua and Caleb didn't stumble. They got to go into the promised land. We have all of these. Even David, when he went in there into the cave and he cut off Saul's zitzit. But he didn't kill Saul because you know what? It wasn't for him to do that because he was king. And the Father anointed him king. And he knew he anointed him king. But the Father had to do the removing. David couldn't remove him because he wasn't told to. So you can't take your own wisdom, your own understanding and say, well, you know what? He anointed me king. Samuel did that. You got to do things the way he wants you to do it. And then it says, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. And guys, this is really where true, total shalom comes in our life. And I think this is what we're all looking for. Is to be able not to worry, to know that the Father is in control. If we're doing everything we know to do this right, and when it lines up with his word, he's got this. He's got this, and you just have to believe and know that he does. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And it says, do not be afraid of southern terror or of the ruins of the wicked when it comes. Because, guys, sudden terror and the ruins of wickedness will come. It has come throughout history. But yet you can see men and women who trust in the Father, how he secured them. Then verse 26, for Yahweh will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So for our time this month is for us to stay focused with these stories. For us to understand it's not only our trust in him, but can we trust one another? And that's not an easy thing to do. I'm just up here to tell you. I mean, most preachers would sit here and tell you what you want to hear. But I'm just telling you, trusting one another sometimes is not an easy thing to do. Because I will tell you, if we're all honest, you can trust some people in here more than you do in the other. What I'm asking you to do is meditate on that. And if you can't trust somebody more than you can the other, work on that and ask the Father, why couldn't I trust this person more than I do this person? Pray and ask him to, because we have to bond as a body. That's why Paul talks about being, can the eye say to the foot and the ear say to the pinky? And you know the story. Because we are a many-membered body. And we got to learn to be able to trust one another. We got to be able to, and sometimes I'm just telling you it takes work to do that. Because here's the deal, and I go back to what we said here. In time of trouble, it comes on suddenly. And when times of trouble come on suddenly, sometimes you don't have a lot of time to think. You don't have a lot of time to evaluate the situation. You got to know, can we trust everybody in this body to be able to move as a body? Or do you say, well, I can go here, but I don't know about this one. That can't happen. You know what I'm saying? We have to learn. And here's another thing. If there's anybody in this body, and I know that there's only a select group here, and they're on the coast, and we'll bring this back up. You need to get in the center of what Yahweh's doing. You don't need to be on the fringe. Because if you're walking on the fringe, Amalek's going to pick you off. I've seen that over and over and over again in people's lives that's been here. When you start walking out on the fringe, you will get picked off. But if we can get in the very middle of what the Father's doing, and that's what it means, when I get in there, I'm vulnerable at that point. And I'm asking you to do a hard thing. I know I am. But I just know everybody in here, and I believe everybody in here has got everybody else's back. I just believe that. And so dedication and trust and hope is what this is about. And I know Tammy has mentioned to me that we've talked about hope and trust over these last few months. But you know what? Doug ministered something that was powerful in his message. Sodom is not about being a queer. You know what I'm saying? It's about, can I trust one another? Is it about, what am I saying? What am I doing? How am I reacting with the very people in my life? You know, how are we, you know what I'm saying? How are we bonding together? And that's what this is about. And so really, this is about honing these times and these skills, because we'll be talking about this story more and more. And you know, which we'll start on Shabbat, we're going to go back into the spiritual gifts. You know, we're going to be talking about prophecy. But because of Terry's message, which was very good, and it lined up a lot right off of Douglas's, and I was going to start in 1 Corinthians 14, but guess where I need to start? I need to start in 13. Because without love, all of that stuff is going to be done wrong. And there again, love is the very focal point of everything that we do in this. Because I need to hear from the Father. And I need to know if somebody prophesies, I'm listening, because we're judging. Because we have a right. I mean, that's what he tells us to do, to judge, to know if this is his word or not. And this is important. This is not games. Because when it comes down to a period in our life, I mean, it's one thing, you know, the way the prophecies are going now, but there's going to come a time where there's going to be more instruction and more direction in these prophecies. And guys, you got to know that you know that you know that you're hearing from the Father. And so this is why this is so important. But he give us these gifts for our edification and our building up. I think you mentioned it, the fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry is there. Not one of them's better than the others. But they're all working together for the equipping of who? The saints. It's equipping us to be able to walk and move as a body of Messiah and to make right choices and to do right things, whatever he's called us to do. Yes.
Say something, and I thought it was him, but it wasn't. I want to be corrected, and I want to know, because I have to answer for what I say or do. And that's why I like a multitude of counsel.
So anyway, I think it's just really another level that's going to the next step. So I'm just real excited about what he's been doing and what he's going to do. Amen.